for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 7th, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service teaching on the power of fathers.
You know, there's a difference between sensing what the Holy Spirit wants to do, giving Him a place, opportunity for what He wants to do. There's a difference between that and trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
Trying to work something up. And, you know, pep rally for Jesus. He don't need a pep rally. I'm telling you, He doesn't need a pep rally. And I found that He can work with or without my cooperation. He's sovereign. And on the other hand, I found out I can sure muck things up for God. Thank God He can override. Amen. The children of Israel didn't make the cloud move or the pillar of fire. They waited on that cloud, that pillar to move. If it remained in the same place for 5 years, out of the 40, they sat there. I don't care if they were bored and their video games weren't working right or the internet wasn't, they stayed there. But when He moved, they packed up quick and followed that cloud. Why? Lest they be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. Do you? I want to move with God. I want to follow Him. I don't want to push God. I don't want to try to lead God. Make God do something. Force His hand. It won't work. I tell you what, work. Many years ago, I was sitting in my house praying before I went to work. And the Lord spoke to me that I'd be going to other places to preach. And I thought, well, I don't know about that, but the Spirit of the Lord came on me. Well, after a year, didn't go anywhere. So I called up my preacher friends, pastors, and asked to come. I went. And then when that all played out, back where I was, you know. You can't make. We can't make. Another thing, be careful for that. Don't fill in the blanks when God speaks to you. Because you'll find that God is often, I don't like to put it this way, but speaking in generalities or just giving you a little bit of information. And often, not always, but often He doesn't tell you when. Isn't that painful? He doesn't tell you when. But in your patience, Jesus said you possess your souls.
That's right.
So you wait on Him. And go ahead and try to make it happen. You ain't going to. Praise God. You may make something happen, but God's not in it. Praise God. He's not in it. Whether we like to hear that or not. Praise God. I've got to do something here. That light. Thank God for light. But not on your screen. Let's see if I can do this. That's better. Oh, Lord, we thank You for this camp, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. May the Bible, the Word of God, be preeminent in this place. May Your Word, Lord, You sent Your Word and healed him. The full counsel of God, the full gospel, the whole Word, praise God, be preached here, taught here, and received here. Praise God. Lord, we want to be after what You're after. We don't want to tell You what to do. We don't want to put You in a box. Praise God, Lord. Let us not forget who's leading and who's to be following. Lord, we ask Your Spirit be upon all of us this morning. Anoint us to speak, to hear, and to interpret what we hear the way You want it interpreted. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. I found that you can preach whatever you want to preach, but the people sitting out there can interpret it however they want to interpret it. You can preach on holiness, and some of them are thinking about sleeves down here and the women's hair down to their waist and all that kind of, you know, the dress down the floor. And some are thinking that, yeah, holiness. And some are thinking something totally different, you know. And but also when the Word of God's going forward, you'll see, if you're in tune with God and God's speaking, if God's speaking through that person, you'll see that God will give you more revelation, extend that revelation while it's being preached. You understand what I'm saying? He will enlarge upon that, praise God, and I'm thankful that He does. So I want to talk to you this morning about the power of fathers. If you receive my emails and read them, you already read this, but this is what the Lord has laid upon my heart. I preached it at my church last Sunday. I wouldn't say it's a Father's Day sermon. I had another one that Sunday. Your foes will be those in your own household. But isn't that fun? Praise God. But Genesis 18:17, we'll begin there. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Shall I hide it from him? Now this statement by the Lord shows us that yes, He does hide things from men. He does. Scripture says His ways are past finding out. The question is, can we persuade the Lord to reveal to us what He's doing so that we can be ready and properly react? Now in John chapter 16, the Lord said that when the Holy Spirit is come, He will show you things to come. Thank God for that. You really need that in every area of your life. Amen? You need it in every area of your life. Do we or do we not? Are you there?
Yes.
We need that. Praise God. How can we persuade the Lord to reveal what He's doing? And remember, He's sovereign. He'll do what He wants to do.
Amen.
Some things we don't need to know. We don't. Not at that time. It's a lot about God's timing. Now, those that are allowed to know what God is doing, what He's going to do, are a very special and select small number of people. You know, there's so many to run around. God said this, God told me that, God this, God that. Well, you know, whatever. About 400 false prophets have told Ahab that too. Oh, God told me. But when the real man of God came, they went and got the real man of God, and he spoke what God had to say. And he said, you know, in heaven they had a council, and the Lord asked, who can I send to be a lying spirit in the tongues of those men? And one said, I'll go. And all that enraged those 400. Oh, they got angry. Well, anyway, praise God. Now we read in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. Now let me say, there is a difference between the gift of prophecy, which is for the edifying, exhorting, and building up comfort of people. Three things: comfort, edifying, and exhorting. There's a difference between that gift being exercised through a person and the office of a prophet. There is a difference. Not everyone that has the gift of prophecy is a prophet or in the office of a prophet. Now, to be able to receive this secret information from the Lord, we must be able to hear His voice. But He only speaks to His servants. John 10:3-4, we read that Christ's sheep, His sheep or His servants, hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. Are you being led out by Him? Or are we going ahead of Him? And when I tell you, some of those sheep are trying to jump the fence and go and do their own thing. And when He brings forth His own sheep, His own, He goes before them. Thank God He does. And the sheep, His servants, follow Him, for they know His voice. Christ's sheep, His servants, are those who are doing the will of God. That's who they are. Not everybody claims to be something. It comes down to one thing, folks. Are we doing the will of God? And it is those privileged ones who are allowed to be privy to what God is doing and what He's going to do. To be privy is to be allowed to participate in the knowledge of something private or secret. Now, the Lord gives three reasons why he's going to reveal his secrets to Abraham. And these reasons are bound up in the will of God. Verse 18, seeing that, or because Abraham, this is the Lord speaking, there on the plain of Mamre, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the world, or the earth, shall be blessed in him. So there's three reasons here. Reason number one, we see that it is the will of God to do something with Abraham that he's not doing with any other person. God is going to cause Abraham's descendants to become a great and mighty nation. This was not a random thing that God was doing. Rather, it was because Abraham, there's a reason why. Abraham sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does it mean that Abraham sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It meant that Abraham was obedient to the voice of God in all things that God led him to do. It meant that Abraham was a man of faith concerning all the promises that God made to him, no matter how long he had to wait to see the fulfillment of those promises. In fact, in Romans we read that as things grew, you might say worse, he waxed stronger or grew stronger in his faith. What do most of us do? What do I do? We get weaker. Oh God, you know. But he grew stronger. Reason number two, it was and it is the will of God to bless all the nations of the earth and all the people of the earth. But what is the blessing that God desires to share with all people? Now, I've heard TV evangelists. I heard this. I saw this. I heard this. One of them was standing there and he said, now, you get the blessing of the person you give to. And I'm a blessed preacher. He's very wealthy. He said, so don't give to some poor preacher. You'll get his blessing. You'll be poor. You give to me. Praise God. Here's the problem. We want to decide how God is going to bless us. We want to decide that. You want to decide that. So, no. Oh, yes, listen to your prayers. We want to decide how God's going to bless us. And with what God's going to bless us. We spend a lot of time telling God what he needs to do and what he doesn't need to do and who he needs to get. We spend a lot of time. When we hear the word blessing, all sorts of visions of goodies coming down upon us enter into our minds. You can just see yourself riding around in that or living in that place. But we must not forget that God's thoughts and his ways, including his blessings, are not the same as our thoughts, our ways, our idea of being blessed. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher or better than our ways, and his thoughts higher or better than our thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. God's blessing for all nations and people is one thing, and one thing only. Now, I live in this nation. God had me be born here. Some people, he brought them here. And whatever you think, you know, God bless America. Oh, they like to say that. What do they mean? Oh, financially and power and... What is God's number one? Well, I can say, what is God's one and only blessing for this nation? It is his son, Jesus Christ. That's his blessing. Well, that's... But what do they say? We are complete in Christ, who is the head of the church. If he will bless you with his son, you have everything you need. And it's a shame, it's a tragedy that we run around wanting this little thing and that little thing. You know, just playing with the trinkets. When God wants to bless, make us complete. I'd rather be complete. But it's only in Christ. God has nothing to offer us outside of his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that plain this morning. God has nothing to offer to you outside of his son. It's all bound up in his son. Everything. God's not doing anything outside of his son. Are we disappointed? Were we expecting material blessings, carnal blessings, perhaps blessings to consume upon our lust, as James 4:3 says? We know that it is God's will to bless all the nations through his son because we're instructed to go into all the world and preach the gospel concerning Christ. And we know that Christ told us we would receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us to be a witness of the image of Christ unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what He wants spread. Some have gone into countries that have opened up that have been closed for many years. Russia's an example. And have gone into those countries to preach their prosperity message, their success message, all those kind of things. Wasted people's money that have given to them to send them there. I was one time, one of the speakers under a tent in downtown Dallas where they fed the homeless and you preached to them first. And we got there. I mean, we had, you know, after our service in our church, some of us went over there and we pulled up there and went and sat down under the tent. And he's preaching prosperity to those homeless people. You know what? That's not what they need. I know. We went under there for a long, long time. That's not what they need. Give it to them and they'll squander it. And I'm not saying, oh, I know I'm probably going to upset some people there. But what they need is Jesus.
Amen.
But then I heard a lady, preacher, pastor one time across the street from where we were at preaching, you need the Holy Ghost so you can get up out of these tents under this bridge. Is that all He means to you? Is that a means for us to get out of our financial problems? Is that what God is? I want to say this. The only thing God's blessing is His Son. If His Son is in you, He can bless you. But He's blessing His Son in you. He's not blessing your wild ideas and lust and desires. And God, He's not. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I can just feel it. Well, Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, receiving the blessing of Abraham does not come through knowing and following Hebrew roots, customs, ceremonies. It comes through knowing Christ. I just read it to you. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Not through going back and going back into their ceremonies. And, you know, one person wrote me, because I sent out those emails, and wrote me back and said that I need to call Jesus by His Hebrew name. Yeshua. I thought, oh, wait a minute. I've been calling Jesus for a long time, and He answers me. He must not have a problem with it. We have a steeple on our church. I've been told we need to get that steeple off our church. Well, I'll tell you what, it hadn't stopped God from blessing that church. You know what some of that's called? Legalism. That's what that's called. Oh, praise God. Well, and some of you have been the object of that. You caught it. They want to tell you, well, let's just go on. Praise God. We cannot know Christ except we receive the promise of the working of the Holy Spirit in us, which is by faith. You'll never know Christ outside of the Holy Spirit working in you. Now let me say this, the Holy Spirit's not going to come and work in you like you want Him to work in you. We are not in charge. Never have been. I'll say this, if there's a blockage somewhere, if something's not happening, you've been praying, why don't you ask God why? More faith is not the answer. You just need more faith. Ask God what? God, what am I doing that's blocking you from answering this prayer? Praise God. Acts 3:26 tells us that God raised up His Son, Jesus, and sent Him to bless us. And turning away every one of us from our iniquities. Iniquities is lawlessness. God did not bless Abraham just for His sake alone, but He blesses a people that they might share that blessing, and especially the blessing of Christ, with other people who will receive the blessing. Don't cast your pearl before the swine, lest they turn. They trample them underfoot and turn and rend you also. Sometimes I want to say things I just don't know if I need to, but praise God. I know I was told of a man that had pigs, hogs, and he was in there with him, had a heart attack. And before his family, they had to shoot all the pigs to get him out of there, what was left of him. That's what that scripture means. Do you understand? That's what that scripture means. They may follow you over to the trough when you got the bucket of feed, but they're not your friend. They have a nature. They have a nature. I know we have pigs. Some of you don't pass out now because I said that. We have pigs. We have chickens next to them. And one of those chickens, stupid chickens, fly over, they don't last long. You can't even find a feather. We finally got smart, put a higher wire up there between them. Save the chickens' lives. Okay. Praise God. That's what happened. The blessing of the giving of Christ to a people may not be the blessing you're looking for, but it's the only and the eternal blessing that God is determined to make available to all people. Reason number 3. Genesis 18:19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The Hebrew word, now I need to stop and say, Scott, I don't know what translation you have. But in the King James, it is that Hebrew word is interpreted, no. If you have, and I checked this out, if you have a lot of the modern translations, they change that word no to chosen. And that totally changes the meaning of this scripture. But of all the hundreds of times, and there's over 500 times, that this Hebrew word for no is found in the scriptures, it is used only 2 times as chosen. And I don't know why these translators decided that's one of the 2 times. But I'm going to tell you this, these modern translators have an agenda. You hear what I'm saying, they have an agenda. This is the greatest and most important thing that could ever be said of anyone, that God knows them. And if God doesn't know you and me this morning, the devil doesn't know us. And we're a non-entity. We're a nothing. Now that's pretty bad. How do we know that? When the 7 sons of Sceva took it upon themselves to try to cast 1 devil out of 1 man, and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. He said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? If God doesn't know you, the devil doesn't know you. We have to know him. On the other hand, if we know God, if God knows us, we're a target. Then the devil knows you. He knew Paul, but he didn't know these 7 sons of Sceva, the priest of Sceva. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. If we will not seek to know and to do the will of God, if we will not seek and accept the kingdom of God while we're on earth, then why should we expect to enter into the heavenly kingdom of God, which we're not even interested in seeking now? Want to go be with a Jesus that people don't even know, don't have time for, won't talk to. And let me say, well, I sing these songs about Jesus. Yeah, you sing these. I say you, I'm sorry for speaking third person. But people sing songs about Jesus trying to get Jesus to give them something. Make them feel better. Solve their problems. But is he Lord of their life? We can sing, Jesus is the Lord of my life. We can sing that. A lot of us sing in lies. You know that. This is an outright lie. And we'll give account of every word that, I don't care who wrote it. And I don't care how many people are singing it. Jesus be the Lord of all, as I direct you. Praise God. Well, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we've cast out devils. In your name done many wonderful works. So we see that not everything men do in the name of Jesus Christ is the will of God. Not everything is. Doing many wonderful works in Jesus' name does not earn a reward. No more than praying prayers with many words. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:7. Also, we, you know, I've got all these works. Here's what this is how the Lord showed me a long time ago. The Lady Liberty with the blindfold, she's got the scales, and we think if we stack up enough on this side of the lap, you know, it'll offset our sins over here. It won't. Also, we see that we may do good things in Jesus' name, yet not be right with God in our heart and in our living. To do our will in even the smallest thing, and to build our kingdom is to forfeit a place in the kingdom of heaven. God's not inviting you and your kingdom into His kingdom. And God doesn't need our help in building His kingdom. Can I say that again? God doesn't need your help in building His kingdom. If He could create the heavens and the earth, He can build His kingdom. And another thing I need to say here. We're not going to do anything for Jesus. You can't. He can do something through you. But of ourselves, we cannot do anything for Him. I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm doing this for Jesus. No, you're not. You're doing it for yourself. You'll trace it back to something for yourself. Something you're going to get out of it. Or think you are. It sounds good. A lot of things we say sound good. Many are operating with it in the confines of organized religion. Yet they're really building their own kingdom. And you cannot truly be in Christ and build your own kingdom. I know. I've pastored the same church for 40 years next month. I've watched it. The song leaders trying to build their kingdom. Piano players trying to build their kingdom. Special singers, which we don't have that. Talent shows is what I call them. Oh, praise God. Don't. Y'all don't just fall out on me here? It is. I'm not saying all of it is. Secretary Treasurer of the church building their kingdom. They control the money, you know. The board building their kingdom. It's just all through the whole thing. Everybody inside the church, people building their own kingdom. You got an assistant pastor. We have a wonderful one, praise God. That's why I can be here. Assistant pastor building their kingdom. The youth pastor, whatever that is, youth pastor, building their own kingdom. You know everybody in the church. Have your minister of finances. Minister of maintenance. Minister of the lawn. Whatever you want to come up with, you know. I think God, this makes God want to vomit. Praise God. Whew, glory to God. Verse 23, and then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Why? He says, depart from me. Why? You that work iniquity. Our profession of faith in Christ is not the important profession. You know, we worked in the jail for a long time. And it wasn't the first church in town. First church in town got to count all those baptisms and professions of faith. They counted them. They were the number one in their conference convention because of the jail. And they talk about, how many professions did you get? How many professions? You know what? It doesn't matter. Will Christ profess us? Will Christ profess you? He said, then will I profess to them. What is He going to profess? This is serious, folks. What's He going to profess about you or me? Oh, my. Well, praise God. We all know those who profess Christ but fail to do the will of God. Yet they think that their profession will make up for their iniquities. I had an uncle that drowned in a large lake near Dallas. Never went to church. I was just a boy. I know that in his garage, one wall was covered with beer stacked up. He had a red nose, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, from drinking. Never went to church. I can say a lot. But he had smoked, and he had his larynx removed from the cancer. He fell out of the boat, and it's real hard to swim and hold that hole, you know, so the water doesn't rush in. Well, they found some preacher he talked to when he was 8 years old and put him right into heaven. What you call that preacher? A lying preacher. There's a pastor who's gone on to be with the Lord, B.H. Clendenin. He fasted for 30 days about his church. God, what do you want to do here? God, what are you saying? What is your will for this church? And after 30 days, God gave him a vision of a man in hell, going through hell, pulling up people by the hair of their head and shoving them back in the flames. And he said, God, what is that? He said, he's looking for that preacher that lied to him. Well, praise God. Iniquity is simply lawlessness or failure to do the will of God. To be lawless refers to not doing the will of God as it is done in heaven. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come. That's in every situation that we're involved in. Your kingdom come. His kingdom has to come into this camp. What is His kingdom? It's His government. Your government, your rule come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's very, very serious about His will being done. And right here He's saying, even though these people did many wonderful works, He said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You were lawless. You did not do my will, you did your will. For whatever reason. There was a pastor that was near his death, renowned pastor. And another pastor was asked to go pray for him. And he went in there and the man was literally shaking. And he's facing trembling, he's facing death. He came out and said, Lord, what is wrong with this man? He served you all his life. And the Lord spoke to him because I told him to do something and he didn't do it and he knows. And he's about to face me. To be lawless means that I'm doing my will instead of God's will. And we can't do both. God has a will in everything. I was thinking about, you know, this movie that came out with 50 Shades of Grey. There is no gray, folks. There is no gray. It's either light or darkness. It's either the will of God or our will. The kingdom of God refers to our being totally submitted to the government of God. But working lawless or iniquity is to not be subject to the government or law of God, therefore being lawless. It's a very foolish thing to go out here through our life and do what we think is right. Scripture talks about that. Every man did what was right in his own sight. You know, you can preach and teach and you can warn people and they'll get right in your face and say, that doesn't mean that. I think, my opinion, my interpretation, the kingdom of God refers to us being totally submitted to the government of God. The words depart from me are the most terrible words a person could ever hear. But multiplied millions will surely hear those words. Because they did not do the will of God. They made choices to do their own will. And if they were able to go to heaven, if they got in heaven, they'd still be doing their own will. That's why God's not going to let them go there. Heaven wouldn't be heaven, and you wouldn't like it. None of us would. Just one person in heaven doing their own will. You know, God's already dealt with that one time. He kicked him out, and a third of the angels. Self-willed people may do their own will within organized religion, but they will never do it in the kingdom of heaven. Simply because they'll not be allowed to enter that kingdom. That's what he said. Just because people are in the church organization does not mean they're in the kingdom of God. Go ahead and have it your way. Do your own thing. That's what Christ said to Judas. What you do, do quickly. Go do it. Let me tell you, if you think God's going to stop you, oh, that He would. But for the most part, God's going to let us do what we want to do. That's not good. God's not chasing any of us with a butterfly net or a lasso. I'll tell you something else. God doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. If He needed us, He wouldn't be complete. God is all sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
We need Him. And the only way we can have Him is if we do His will. I don't know His will. Pray what Jesus said. Pray that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Pray it. When you don't know the will of God, pray that. And I don't mean you pray and tell God what you want to do, and at the end you tack on that little quote, but your will be done.
I got a question. Okay, so you said 3 or 4 or 5 times that God doesn't need us, but that He strongly desires us.
Yes, He does. He so loved the world. The need is on our part, not His part.
Right, but I think when we focus on the fact that He technically doesn't need us, I think we've missed the point that He strongly desires us because He did go to the cross.
This is bothering you, isn't it?
What
I'm saying is bothering you.
I don't know where you're referring to. I'm talking about the fact that
I'm talking about the fact that what I'm saying is bothering you, and you feel a need to comment on it. Is that right?
Well, I think it's important for people to realize that God strongly desires us. And if we keep saying that, you know, God doesn't need you, God doesn't need you, God doesn't need you, then in the minds of the people, they don't realize how much God loves them and strongly desires them. Because when
I already answered that, brother. I said He desires us. Didn't I answer that?
Right.
Okay. But as long as we feel like God needs us, then we can bargain with Him. And we can't bargain with Him.
I believe God.
But you know what? When you're it's your turn to preach, you can explain all that.
Amen.
Okay? No offense intended, brother. But I'm preaching right now. If you disagree, you're welcome to disagree. If you'll hang on, maybe you won't disagree with me so much. Okay? Praise God. I know this is strong, folks. But we've been taught so much that's wrong. You and I have no grounds whatsoever to bargain with the Lord about us. We have nothing. Without Him, we're totally lost. Undone. I walk around saying, I need you. God, I need you. Oh, my God, I need you. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm not my own God. I need Him. Did He need the children of Israel? He said, get out of the way, Moses, and I'll destroy every one of them, and I'll start a new nation with you. Even in case they thought He needed them. Well, God, if you don't have me, you can't do what you need to do. Oh, yes, He can. And I can go on and on in this and deeper. Do you know Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? There's a lot between those two. We don't know what was here before Genesis 1:2. Maybe there were people that thought, or whatever beings that thought God needed them. Maybe Lucifer thought God needed him. You know, heaven can't operate without me being here. No, God showed him different. I'm not saying that God doesn't love us. Oh my, He loves us. But then to say that, who does God love? You can find the answer in John 14. He loves those that does His will. Oh, God loves everybody. He loves those that does His will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But we take that and run with it. No matter what I do, God loves me. No, that's not so. John 14, he says it repeatedly in that chapter. Those that do His will. If I'm not obeying Him or doing His will, then where does that leave me? Where does that leave you? I'm trying to get to you this morning, this thought. Stop doing your own will. Well, there's time to stop it. I'm not in charge. I must come under. I have to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Under His hand. Saul was told the will of God by the prophet Samuel and went and did part of it and lost everything. Look at his end. God's not talking to him. Samuel won't go to his house anymore. He ends up in a witch's house and then dead in battle. You know, and something that disturbs me there, Jonathan, his son, what a lovely man that was. Amen? He told, I know, God, I know. He said, I know that you're going to be king. I know you are. And I'll be with you. He knows this. But what does he do? What does he choose? He chooses his father over David and dies with him in battle. You better be careful. You better be careful the choices you make and the people you decide to follow. Jonathan didn't have to die, folks. But he made a choice. I've seen it over and over. You've seen it. You're hanging around somebody that's not doing the will of God, and they will not do the will of God, you better separate yourself. Come out from among them, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my children. Praise God. Depart from me. Have we considered what He will answer to us when we request to enter into His heavenly kingdom? Or will we think we can bully our way in? Or buy our way in with our good works? Or sweet talk our way in? One requirement for entering the kingdom of heaven will be that Christ knows us. And He only knows those who do the will of His Father in heaven. That's what He's saying here. No matter the good deeds that we've done in His name. Therefore, we see why Abraham has achieved with God a very good standing. Oh, praise God. This is the good part here. A man that's doing the will of God, and he's got good standing. He said, I know Him. Does He know us this morning? He will do my will. I know Him. Therefore, I can do what I promised I'd do to Him. Praise God. This good ground of being known by God was not by accident, nor was it automatic. There's a price to pay to achieve a good standing with Christ. Somewhere here, we've got to stop doing our will and begin to do His will in our finances, the way we run our home, what we watch, what we listen to, what we say, where we go. Who told you you could go there? Did you ask the Lord's will? Who told you you could buy that? God's not your spare tire that when you get in trouble, you run Him. I need you now, Lord. As soon as everything's all right, we go on and do our will. Oh, come on, folks. Let's wake up to this. It's important. That's why He said, few there be that find it. Church is full of self-will people. I mean that. James said, where do fights and wars come from among you? Right in the... He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world out there. He said, you lust. You desire. Everybody wanting to do their... You know, and when you get a group of people together, everybody wanting to do their will, you got problems. Now, they may get along with each other for the sake of getting what they want. And everybody, even in the church, knows the pecking order in the church. And they know who to mess with and who to leave alone. Even in the church. But you know what? If the whole group was doing the will of God, then we have unity. But to think we have unity because we're going to try to get along with each other. You can't get along with the devil. Praise God. That's a lie from the devil. Now, Abraham was a godly father. Genesis 18:19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring on Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The things that God has promised us are not automatically ours to have. There are conditions to meet before God will fulfill these promises. And as we learn from King Saul, we can also cut ourselves off from the promises of God that he is already fulfilling. Saul had become king, and God was blessing. But somewhere along the way, he got too big for his britches and thought he could do his will, at least partially. Partially doing the will of God is perhaps worse than doing the whole will of, not doing any of the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? He thought it was no big thing if he left that king Agag alive. No big thing. No big thing if we take the best of the livestock. No big thing. Yes, it was a big thing with God. It's not what I think or you think about this. What does God say? And you know what? God doesn't owe us an explanation. That's a big hang up there. God speaks to us. We don't understand what He's saying, maybe. We don't perhaps agree. It's not according to what our experiences in life. And then we want to tweak and filter the voice of God. Oh, that's a dangerous thing to do. Folks, it is either obedience, it's either full obedience, or we're out. Unless, and I haven't got to that yet, unless that God would grant us an opportunity to repent, which I've had to do many times, many times. I've had to say, oh God, I missed. I wasn't listening. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I just bullheaded and did what I thought I ought to do, knowing what God had said. Have you? I just go ahead and do it. And then there are those people that think they can go ahead and do what they want to and then just ask God to forgive them, and it'll be okay. Easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. Have you learned that? Go ahead and do it and then ask Him to forgive you. But you got to do what you want to do. Now, this man, if we'll observe him, we'll see what a godly father is. He was a father that pleased God because he would command his children and his household to follow him as he followed the Lord. He would command them to. Now, he doesn't even have Isaac yet. Why is God saying he would? Because God foreknows. God has foreknowledge. Let me tell you, all that's sitting here, He knows what you're going to do. Did you know that? He knew what Esau would do, and he hated him before he was born. But he said, Jacob have I loved. He knows what you're going to do. He knew what Abraham would do. He knew it. He said, I know him. I know what he'll do. He's already shown me. But he has foreknowledge. Praise God. Abraham was not a godly father because he was his children's best friend. It was not because Abraham made good money so they could have the latest fashion of shoes or clothes. It was not because Abraham bought them the latest forms of entertainment. It was not because Abraham saw to it that they received the best education or pressed them to excel in sports. We had a young man that was in our church, in our school, we had our Christian school. And his parents decided that they wanted him to play sports. Maybe he would get a scholarship, which he never got. They wanted him to have, they thought, better opportunity. So they pulled him out. Then they left the church. I went to his graveside a week ago. I can't say that because I'm, you know, but how'd that turn out for you? How'd that turn out for you? Parents. Oh, parents, you're making decisions. You have. I have. Now, we could go on and on with this. And by the way, I can tell you that Abraham didn't let the Egyptians educate his child. Just in case someone has a different opinion on how to raise the children, the Lord Himself makes it very unequivocally plain. They must be commanded to keep the way of the Lord or commanded to do the will of God. Abraham was not to ask them what they liked or what they wanted or how they felt about things. Rather, he was to command them to walk in the ways of the Lord. We may be afraid. Parents may be afraid of the word command. But why are they afraid to do what God instructs us to do? Who are we afraid of? In today's culture, children are not only allowed to express their opinions, they're allowed to guide their own lives. This is Antichrist. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. This is what this nation has come to, folks. Parents brought to shame. Great and grievous shame. My youngest son, the Lord gave me a vision about him. And in that vision, I saw him behind bars. And I knew what the Lord was saying. Better rein that boy in. Better rein him in. And he's never been to jail. This is what the nation has come to. Children left to do what their self and their flesh nature want to do, or what public schools and colleges command them to do, or what the entertainment industry commands them to do and don't think they're not commanding them, or what their friends command them to do, or what the political forces command them to do. We've just seen that here in this nation when schools took the children out of the schools into the streets to protest. Where'd that come from? Schools showing videos made by the gay community. And they're forced to watch them. You cannot pull your children out. Neither, and there's one, and I believe maybe Pennsylvania, I can't remember where it's at. And the parents are not even allowed to see what was on the video. Somewhere, the government owns your children. And I mean public school. Government run, owned, operated schools that you're going to pay taxes to whether you want to or not. People worried about paying taxes so abortions can be done. Oh, I don't want to care on that. We're in trouble. This nation is in trouble. Don't think for a minute that these entities are not commanding the children of this nation. While Christian parents are reluctant to command their children to follow them as they follow the Lord, this carnal world and the devil has stepped in and taken that place of commanding, but it's to the very destruction not only of the children, but of the church, the family, and the nation. It's unraveling in front of our eyes. Perhaps the reason most Christian parents are reluctant to command their children to follow them is because follow them as they follow the Lord is because the parents are not following the Lord. They're not submitted to the kingdom of God. They're not doing the will of God, and they know they're not. This young man that I went, my wife and I went to the graveside. And after they got through, I noticed the father went over there and put something on his grave. I couldn't see what it was then. The boy died drunk in a car accident. And very gruesome. Instantly. And they had allowed drinking. Basically taught him, and he had a drinking problem. And they went to bed, hid the keys from him, but he found them. He didn't even make it to town. But when I passed by, I looked over there, and there's a bottle of beer on his grave. I thought, don't you people connect the dots? Don't you know why he's in that hole now? Buried dead? What is this? Most Christian parents know nothing about the will of God. And I'm sorry to say that. And therefore, how can they command their children to do the will of God? You know why? Because they're so caught up in their selfish life. Doing what they want. There's a remedy for those who do not know the will of God. Do what Christ told us, and I mentioned this earlier, and pray for His kingdom to come, His will to be done on, in earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's easier to leave the children to themselves, to the TV or video games or the commands of the public education or their friends or to Facebook. But in the end, it will produce great sorrow and grief. When parents allow those children to have those things in their hand, that opens them up to the world. They can watch pornography. They can do anything with those. If they live in your house, you have a right to go in their room and see what's in there. And you have a right to look on their devices and see what's on there. And you better. Because you get what you inspect, not what you expect. Folks, children lie. How many times we had parents come up to our school? All this mad, angry. You did this. You did that. until they hear the other side of the story. I've watched them walk out in shame. Then I've watched some that it didn't matter what. They defend their kids no matter what they do. Those people we can't help. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child, command the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a war going on for the control of the church, families, and the nation. And it's being fought through the commanding or controlling of the youth of this nation. You better believe that. When kindergartens are taught sex education graphically, the problem is children don't have the wisdom to make wise decisions for themselves. They don't. You are to be their conscience until they leave your home. You know, I was raised different. Some of you probably were too. One time I was grown working, well, almost grown working, had a car. And I was going to go somewhere with some friends. And my dad didn't like where, you know, he didn't like the idea. And I said, well, I'm going to go. He doubled up his fist. And I wasn't going to go. Because I knew what he'd do. I had no question in my mind what he would do. You know why? He loved me. He loved me. Do you know who your children's friends are? Why do you let them spend the night at a home where you don't know what's going on? There's a pastor not far from us that did that. He let his child spend the night with a young man in the church, and that young man murdered him that night. I'm telling you the truth. My wife has seen the banner too in their gym. In memory of. And that was a plan of the devil. Sometimes you hearing from God is the only thing that stands between your children and destruction.
That's right.
One time my oldest son was going to go on a date. And he came in the shower. And my late wife said, you need to go look in his trunk. Oh, what? Yeah, you need to go look in his trunk. God showed her something. I went, I got his keys were laying on the table. We made a mistake there. I went and opened that trunk, and there's cases of beer in there that my son-in-law had bought for him because he wasn't of age. Well, I took them all in while he's taking a shower and stacked them on the table. Oh, what an expression on his face when he came out. I said, you go load those in the truck, my pickup truck. We're going down in the woods. I had one crossing to a creek that was concrete. Took him down there and made him smash every bottle on that concrete. Because I loved him. Oh, hallelujah to Jesus. I believe the devil wanted to kill him that night. I really do. I believe the devil intended to kill him that night. But God intervened. Even teenagers don't have the wisdom. And God knows this, and the devil knows this. But do you know this? Praise God. I'm going to have to skip on down here. Ungodly fathers, Eli and his sons. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Why didn't they know the Lord? Their father's the priest. Why didn't they know the Lord? It goes back to him. Trace it right back to him. Why didn't they know the Lord? Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean your children are going to know the Lord, or a Sunday school teacher, the choir director, or whatever. A man of God came to warn Eli about his son's behavior, to confront him with the fact that he was honoring his sons above God by not restraining them or even cutting them off from being priests. He should have fired them, but he wasn't going to. Praise God. Verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house, his family, or sons. When I begin, I will also make an end. God never starts something he does not end. One way or another, dependent upon, at times, the repentance of men. If he grants repentance. Did you know God has to grant repentance? Just because we say prayers doesn't mean he heard them. He has to grant it. He didn't grant Esau's repentance. You know that? Sought a place of repentance bitterly with tears. Granting repentance is at the sole pleasure of God. It is. You have to. No, it doesn't. Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, you know what they did? Took strange fire. Strange fire. And fire came out from God and consumed them. And it's called the burning of the Lord. And there's a burning of the wicked coming, the which can never be quenched forever. Now, Aaron, he's a high priest. But we see as we look at his history, he's complicit or obliging. We see that at the golden calf. We see that when he comes with his sister Miriam to attack Moses. God turned that around quick, didn't he? Come up there with a proud heart. We hear from God too. Oh, really? Do you? And God struck her with leprosy in her forehead, and their attitude changed real quick. Real quick. Never hear another word about that woman. You know, it's over with for her. It is over with. And then this last one, David and his son Absalom. Okay, you know the history. You know that Absalom's sister was raped by his brother, her brother. Absalom played cool until he got a chance and murdered his brother. Absalom finally works his way back into Jerusalem. He burns Joab, the general's barley field. He gets back. When he gets where he wants, he's sitting at the gate and he wins the hearts of the people. And then the insurrection starts. But let me tell you this. All along, David knew these things were going on. And he didn't deal with it. He should have dealt with that son that raped his daughter. Colin says. He should have done that. He should have dealt with Absalom. But he's unwilling to do that. Unwilling to restrain, just like Eli, and correct his sons. And now his own son is seeking his life. To kill him and take over the kingdom. They flee from Jerusalem. Now when the army, his army is going to go out, they said, you stay here, we can't lose you. When the army is going to go out and meet the forces of Absalom, he says, deal gently with a young man, Absalom. Deal gently. He said, for my sake. Joab doesn't listen to David, does he? And makes sure the young man is dead. You have to. You understand? You have to. He's already proven what he'll do. So when he's killed and he receives word, he covered his face and went into hiding, weeping for Absalom, saying, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would to God I died for you, O Absalom, my son. Joab, his great army general, came to the king and said, you have shamed this day the faces of all your soldiers, which this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines. Why? Because Absalom would have killed every one of them. In that you love your enemies and hate your friends. His son is his enemy. For you have declared this day that the commanders and soldiers mean nothing to you. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it would have pleased you well. Now therefore rise and go forth and speak comfortably or encourage your soldiers. For I swear by God, if you go not forth, there will not tarry one man with you this night, and that will be worse to you than all the evil that befell you from your youth until now. We pray prayers, and yet we stand in the way, restricting God. Boxing him in, limiting him to our desires, defending and protecting those, even friends and family, that stand in the way of the will of God. Just as David was doing, trying to protect Absalom. We must let go, release, get out of the way, take our hands off. Stop limiting and restricting God. Stop telling God how far He can go. We must not be telling God, don't hurt this or that, or this one or that one. And turn it all over to God, whoever or whatever it is. I'm going to tell you, Stanis, I know what this means. I know what this means. And God had to correct me. I was praying about a very serious situation. Involved our church, involved people, involved a lot of things. But I was praying, Lord, do this, but don't hurt my son. I didn't realize what I was doing. And God dealt with my wife knows. God dealt with me. And I had to release him. He's chosen to follow his wife in this thing. You know what? You'll choose either to follow these people or you better get away from them, whichever. If you stay with them, you're going to suffer too. And so I did. It was hard, but I saw what I was doing. And I'm a father. I'm a parent. Most of your parents, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, God, please fix this, but don't hurt my son. Don't hurt my daughter. Or we pray, oh, God, whatever it takes. And then when they call us, your child is in jail. Oh, God, this is not what I meant. I got put in jail one time when I was a teenager. It wasn't very pretty. They put us in the drunk tank. There's one bench. And there's one man that owned the bench. The rest of us stood or squatted on the ground, about 20-something people in that drunk tank, downtown Dallas. What an experience. So they gave us one phone call. There was one phone left on the wall. That's for cell phones, by the way. I was a teenager. And I had to step over this big old man that was drunk laying in the floor. I called my mother, answered. I said, Mother, I'm in jail. She said, you can just stay there. Yeah, it's a good mother, isn't it? Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I can assure you that Abraham was a godly father because he put God before his son. What did God tell him to do? You take that son and go where I tell you and you offer him up as a sacrifice. And he did it. And he was ready for the dagger. Quit protecting folks. I don't care who it is. Your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. If they're standing in the way of the will of God, or God did, quit protecting. God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, offering him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Are we willing to bind or to restrict our children, or whoever it is, and laid him on the altar, so to speak, laid him on the altar. God, do whatever you need to do with them and mean it. Are we willing for the will of God to be done? Or have we made an idol out of our children? And that's what David did with Absalom. We're either going to lay them on the altar or we're going to lay God and his will on the altar, one or the other. Well, I'm going to find a way around that. God will fix it where you can. He'll confront you. He'll confront me. I'm telling you, he'll confront us. He will know what's in our heart. He will know. And this is after he said, I know him. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, or you choose God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Oh, the power of a godly father. What happened on that mount, which later became the Temple Mount and is today, Mount Moriah, in Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? The place where Jesus was offered up is the place that God told Abraham to go to and offer up his son. But this lesson for Isaac could have been the one thing that held Isaac in the right line. You understand? Your children need to know that God comes first before them. Your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, whoever it is, needs to know that God comes first. And you're not going to slight God so you can please him. It has to be that way. God will know. God will know who we want, him or whatever. We said, well, I can have them both. No, God wouldn't allow that. Praise God. Let's stand. I realize this is not easy. But God told me a while back. He said, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. Unless we speak truth, people can never be free. You hear that? We got enough of lying going on in church, telling people lies. Oh, God is... there's some people I say, God is good all the time. Well, that depends on how you're looking at it. Praise God. Yes, and that's good that He gives us one. Better that He do that than let us go on our way. For whom He loves, the Lord chastens. And every son He receives, He scourges. That literally, that word means beats. Because He's not raising brats. Oh my God. Lord, we thank You. We find pleasure in You. Oh God, to do Your will. No matter who we offend, not that we won't offend anyone. God, You will bring us to a place, all of us, that we will have to make a decision. We may try to avoid it, and we have tried to, but You will bring us to that place. And we may not even recognize, Lord, when we're making that decision. Our mind's so clouded, so pressured by things surrounding us. Don't know what we're going to do. If I do that, I'm going to lose everything. But God, I'd rather lose everything than to lose You. And couldn't we know, Lord, that the three Hebrew children had to make a decision? God or that idol? God or our lives? And they chose, Lord. They said, we know He can deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to Your God. But praise God, Lord, and it's not always, Lord, when they got in the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than it ought to be, You were there. And help us know, Lord, though it be scary and frightening, and we may lose someone's love, or we think that we'll lose it. We may lose this, we may lose that. But Lord, on the other side, You're going to be there. And we're complete in You, and You're all we need. And You're the answer to everything. And we thank You for it, Lord. God, give us that kind of faith. Give us that kind of faith. Faith, Lord, that we'll go to the lion's den, whether You shut the mouths of the lions or not. Because many have died. Many of Your saints have died, Father. Heads cut off. Burned at the stake. Stoned to death. But You said they get a better reward. Praise God. Lord, let it be from here on that our focus is on You and pleasing You and doing Your will. And that our focus be on the eternal reward. The eternal reward. And let us not trade that, Father, for some temporary, minor thing here or person. It's in front of all of us, Father. In front of all of us, Father. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Can we just praise Him? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, my God, my God. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to pray for the food. And if there's anyone that wants prayer, you can come and we'll pray for you. And otherwise, you're dismissed to go and enjoy this food that's been prepared for us. Lord, thank You for the food, and we bless it in the name of Jesus. And we bless Your people, Lord. We bless Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.